we got to make sure we meet them where they're at. So we keep this presentation very, very simple. And the goal is to educate them about real estate investing, show them the big benefits of them, highlight a deal or two that you've done in the past, and show them what's in it for them.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Multifamily Money. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is Multifamily Mondays. All right, I got a great guest to interview today. But before I get into that, I just want to take a moment. This episode is airing on Memorial Day. So I just want to take a moment to remember all those that we have lost serving their country. Our country wouldn't be what it is today without those who make the ultimate sacrifice for us to live and pursue our dreams. So I just wanted to take a moment to remember and honor all those that have lost their lives serving their country. All right, everybody. Today, our guest is Dave Dubow. Dave has been an entrepreneur since 1993, a real estate investor since 2001. In that time, he has done deals ranging from creative no money down transactions, rent to owns, and more, and recently multifamily properties. He's the author of 7 books and has been teaching and training people about marketing and real estate investing since 2006. He also shared the stage with the likes of Robert Kiyosaki of Rich Dad Poor Dad fame and another Robert from Shark Tank, as well as George Foreman and many others. This was an awesome episode. We touched on a lot specifically about raising money and his kind of 5 steps to success on raising capital. It's a good one. We get into some great stuff. So I think you're really going to enjoy it. All right. Without further ado, here is Dave Dubow.
Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Big Sean. It's a pleasure. Thanks, buddy.
Awesome. We've got Dave Dubow on the show today. And Dave and I met probably a month ago via the awesome world of Zoom. And Dave's got a great story to tell us today on all things raising money from your network. And I guess before we jump into that, Dave, if you don't mind, everyone loves a good origin story. If you don't mind, just giving a little background on yourself.
No, thanks very much, Sean. Yeah. So as you'll hear by the accent, I'm Canadian. I'm based up here in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Haven't always been here though. I lived overseas for about 14 years in Latin America, in Mexico and in Costa Rica, spent 10 years down there. Had a language training company, got married, had kids, started actually investing in real estate a little bit in Costa Rica, doing a couple of what we would call pre-foreclosure type deals. And then in 2003, decided to leave the tropical paradise of Costa Rica and move back to Canada, the frozen hinterlands, with my Costa Rican wife and 2 Costa Rican kids. And everybody goes, what the heck?
I was thinking the same thing.
I think the same thing sometimes myself. Here's what happened, Sean. Being the pasty-faced white guy, you can see that I am. When you're living in Latin America, whether you have money or not, everybody assumes that you do. And there's a bit of a target on your back and on your family's back as well. Now, Costa Rica is a very safe country. However, stuff still does happen from time to time. There are kidnappings and those sort of things, people getting held for ransom. Doesn't happen very often, but I do know 2 people that it happened to.
Wow.
And it just, we wanted to raise our kids. They were getting towards school age at the time. We wanted to raise them in a safer environment. So packed everything up, moved to Canada. That was a real shock to the system for my Costa Rican wife, that's for sure. And I had to start all over again from scratch. And I'd been gone for so long. I didn't have any credit. I had been self-employed for quite a while, so I was pretty much unemployable. And I hadn't been able to sell my business in Costa Rica, so I didn't have a lot of money either. So it's one of those situations where we left a really nice lifestyle with live-in maids and a gardener and gated community and all this kind of stuff. And now I had to move my family into a crappy little rental property on the not so great side of town. And there was a lot of pressure to figure out what I was going to do for work. And you're probably way too young to recognize or remember these things, but there used to be these things called late night infomercials.
Oh yeah.
You remember those?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You too can get rich in real estate with little or no money.
Just 3 easy payments.
That's right. Perfect. That's what I got. Little or no money. So I sent away for this guru's course and got it and put it to use and actually did make it work and did 18 deals in 18 months.
Oh,
which
wow.
Sounds pretty impressive, but you got to look at some of these deals. Some of them were pretty good. They're all little single family home type deals. Some of them were pretty good. Some of them were just crappy little trailers and trailer parks and all that kind of stuff. But got into the game, caught the eye of an up-and-coming real estate guru up here. He saw what I was doing, saw my background in marketing, started working with him, took some time off. I helped him explode his business, kind of a Canadian version of Rich Dad at the time. And I started helping him raise a lot of capital for real estate deals. Then I jumped back into actively investing. And by that time, I had some money and I had some credit. So I was able to actually come up with down payments and buy properties. Again, single family homes to begin with. And then, I don't know if this ever happened to you, Sean, or you got super deep pockets, I'm not sure, but I hit that wall. I ran out of cash, ran out of credit. And of course, that's exactly when the perfect deal landed in my lap. And I had heard all these gurus say, hey, you know what? If you find a good deal, the money will magically find you. Have you ever heard that expression?
Yeah, and I could not disagree with it more.
I'm glad. Yeah, otherwise, we'd have to have an arm wrestle about that. But yeah, that was not my experience. My experience was, okay, well, first of all, I knew I'm going to have to go out and do something. So I remember, I think I had 2 weeks to remove subjects on this property. And I remember also hearing, hey, if you need to raise money, pick up the phone and start dialing for dollars, right? Just cold call people and pitch them on your deal. So I wasn't thrilled about that idea, but I thought, okay, I'll try it. So I picked up the phone, dialed, rejected. Obviously, I wasn't very good at pitching my deal on the phone. And my poor little fragile ego could not handle that much rejection. So pretty quick, I quit making those cold calls. And then I'd also heard that you need to get out there and network up a storm and turn every conversation into a real estate conversation. And I believe it or not, I'm kind of an introvert. So that was not really in my comfort zone, but I forced myself to do it. So I went to the local BNI and Chamber of Commerce and Toastmasters and wherever the heck they let me in the door. I did my little song and dance with my business cards and the whole bit and basically got a bunch of really strange looks from people because my whole 30-second elevator pitch sounded pitchy.
Right.
And 2020 hindsight, the biggest challenge was I was desperate, right? I had this deal on the go. Wasn't a big deal. I just needed to raise $85,000 for this deal. But I was under a real tight time frame. And like it or not, that desperation just oozed through every pore in my body. And I just repelled people. All right. So I didn't raise any money that way. So by this time, I'm really running out of time. Got a little extension on the subject removals. And then I came up with what I thought was a brilliant idea. I said to myself, hey, if enough people see this deal, it's so awesome, it's going to sell itself. All right. So I put together a one-page PDF about the deal and what I thought my projected returns were going to be and all this kind of stuff. Big no-no. I didn't know anything about securities regulations or any of that kind of stuff at the time. And I emailed that out to everybody that I knew. So I put together a list of about a couple of hundred people, had their names and email addresses, spammed them all with that email. I remember I sent that out on a Wednesday night, and Thursday morning, I got up all excited to see all this positive response I was going to get in my inbox. And there it was. I did get response, Sean, but basically it all said, hey, Dave, dude, I haven't heard from you in forever. And here you are hitting me up for money for a deal. Take a hike, buddy.
Right.
And that was the end of that deal. I lost that. I had to pull out of that deal. It's a little single family home deal, but I'm in a fairly small town. You're from a small town originally yourself as well. So you know how word travels, right? So ticked off the seller big time, the realtor, the mortgage broker, the tenant I already had lined up for the property, all this stuff, major, major egg on my face. And when the smoke cleared, I kind of gave my head a shake and I said, Dave, that's the stupidest thing you've done in a long time. You know a few things about marketing. Why don't you try to apply some intelligent marketing to this whole capital raising thing instead of charging out there like a bull in a china shop, desperately hitting people up for cash? So that's by hook and by crook, I came up with what I call my money partner formula, 5 steps to raising capital, to really leveraging your network. And instead of chasing after them, getting them to come to you, ideally already pre-educated, pre-qualified, and pre-motivated to invest. So that's what I've been working on for the last number of years. Worked really well for me. Raised millions of dollars for my own deals, for those single family home deals, and then more recently getting into multifamily type properties. But more importantly, it's worked really, really well for literally hundreds of clients over the years as well, who've cumulatively raised well over $300 million for their deals.
Wow. That's amazing. That's very impressive. And it's, I love when, you know, successful people give back to others and help them grow. And that's, I want to be one day too, because I think that's important to always give back.
Well, when we work with clients, we do charge them, Sean, to full transparency there. So yeah. It's,
yeah. But to me, like, I will pay for a coaching. I will pay for a mastermind because I know I'm going to get 5X, 10X, maybe even 100X out of what I'm, from what I'm paying, at what I'll get out of it. So to me, it's more than worth it. But no, that's a wonderful story. And I agree with you, the whole, if you have a deal, money will come. It's just not true. Now, if you do have a list, a primed list of investors, then yes,
that's the key.
But you got to develop that first. You can't just go find a deal.
All right. That's going the other way around, right? So you've, like Confucius and Harvey McKay said, you've dug your well before you're thirsty. You line up your investors first, get them, like you said, that's a beautiful term, primed and ready to go. Then you go find the deals. And now you can go in and with confidence, with your mojo, you can make offers, you can tie properties up. You know you've got the capital to back you up. It's a complete 180, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's also one of those things where you got to be constantly raising money because you're never going to have enough if you want to grow. Tent where you are, then that's another thing. But if you continually want to grow, purchase more assets, you need to constantly be raising money. And so if you have a deal locked up and you're funded for that deal, that doesn't mean you need to take your foot off the gas for the next deal because that next deal could come the next day and you got to be ready to execute. And so I want to jump into, so what are these five steps to achieve that?
Yeah. So Sean, what we really focus on is we really focus on what I call mom and pop real estate investors who are just getting started with raising capital. So we show people how to get going with it, how to raise their first, typically somewhere in the range of 300 to 1.5 million. That's kind of the sweet spot that we can help people at. You're at the level now, you're syndicating deals, you're doing multi-million dollar properties, but we're helping people where you started at a number of years ago. Does that make sense?
Yes.
How to leverage your existing network and squeeze all the juice you can out of that one. So the first step of this five-step process is to, number one, realize that you've got a network, right?
Right.
And when we're working with clients, what we do is we create a target group of potential investors, people that you have a legitimate pre-existing relationship with them. So friends, family members, coworkers, business associates, people you know from civic organizations, clubs, churches, whatnot, right? So you know them, they know you already. If you bumped into this person on the street, you'd recognize each other, you could have a good conversation.
Yep.
And our goal is to create a list of about 200 of these people. Everybody goes, Dave, I don't know 200 people. You're crazy. I can maybe think of 15 or 20 people. That's right. That's probably all you can think of off the top of your head. However, here's the trick. Instead of trying to think up 200 people, let's start with a group of maybe 2,000 and whittle it down to 200 people. So here's what we do with our clients. We extract all their contacts from their cell phone, their email address, their social media contacts. We do a data dump. We get it all into one place. And then we start off with probably a couple of thousand people and then very quickly whittle through it. Go through that list. You see a name. Does a face pop into your mind? Do you really know that person? Great. Keep them. If you don't, delete. So keep, delete, delete, delete. Whittle it down to 200 people. Does that make sense, Sean?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
All right. So we got that list of a couple hundred people. Next step is let's reconnect with these people on a personal level first before we start schlepping our deals. Right.
That's the key.
That's the key I missed at the beginning, right? So I was smart. I got that list, but then I was stupid because I just charged in and said, hey, it's Dave. I got the deals. Do you got the dough? Right. And that didn't work. And not only did it not work, it actually turned people off. It cost me a lot of money because it's hard to fix that relationship after you've been that clumsy about it. Does that make sense? So you want to reconnect with these people. And what we do there is we do a very, but it's kind of hard to invite 200 people out individually for coffee or beers, right?
Hopefully they all don't pick the same day.
Well, plus it's just time intensive.
Yeah.
And it might not be too good for your liver. So what we do instead is we do an automated email warm-up campaign. An automated email warm-up campaign. Send out three little messages, drip, 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 over about a week-long period. Very personal, but you can do one to many. And the first one's kind of like, hey, it's Dave. Chances are it's been a while since we've been in contact. Just want to say hi. see how you're doing, let you know what I've been up to. Then you do a quick little recap of what's been going on in your life for the last 3, 4, 5 years, right? And we've all had stuff going on through the pandemic and all that kind of stuff. So just assume the other person hasn't heard from you in a while and do a quick little personal update. Don't try to sneak in any real estate stuff or anything like that. Just as if you were writing a letter to a friend, an old friend, okay? And then you send that off. At the end of it, you say, hey, that's what I've been up to. How about you? Please hit reply. Let me know how you're doing. You send that through an email autoresponder, CRM, some sort of system. Send that out to all 200 people. And then make sure that you respond back to people that reply to you. There's definitely money in those responses. So we send out a couple of different variations of that kind of a message. And then we wrap it up with what I call a transition message. And that's going to give people the heads up that we're going to move from warm and fuzzy, just catching up, to letting them know what we're up to with real estate investing, seeing if they're interested in finding out more. If they'd rather not hear about it, they can opt out as well. So do a little message. You want a demo of what that message might look like, Sean, or do we not have time for that sort of thing?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So if we're doing that, I'd do a short little video about a minute long, something like this. Hey, it's Dave. It's been really good reconnecting with you over the last week or so. Just want to let you know that moving ahead, I plan on doing a much better job of staying in touch with you and letting you know what I'm up to with real estate investing. Real estate's something I'm very passionate about. I'm doing really well with it. And in fact, I think real estate is the best way for everyday folks like you and like myself to get an above average return on our money backed by something solid and tangible, a real piece of property. And hey, who knows? Maybe sometime in the future, you might even be interested in partnering up with me and sharing in the profits on a deal. But you know what? If you're really not interested in real estate investing, that's cool too. You can always click unsubscribe at the bottom of any of my emails. You'll be taken off my list immediately. Of course, my feelings will be temporarily devastated, but eventually I'll get over it. Okay. Now, if you haven't had time, please hit reply. Let me know how you're doing. Love to catch up. Take care. Talk to you soon. Send that sucker off to all 200 people. And now we have set the stage for everything for the marketing that we're going to be doing moving ahead. Does that make sense, Sean?
That's wonderful. And listeners, you should be rewinding that and listening to that again, because that's the way to do it right there.
What's your best guess if you had a list of 200 people, how many of them are going to opt out? After we just told them to, if you'd rather not hear about the real estate stuff, click unsubscribe. What's your best guess?
That's a good question. Well, you're going to have people that are just too lazy to opt out whether they want to or not. I would say out of those 200 people, maybe 20.
That's a pretty good guess. Actually, it's even less than that, Sean. Okay. So over time, yeah, you'll probably get that. But typically, so for example, we just did this with a client last week. They had 5 people opt out.
Oh, wow.
That's it. And that's about average. It's between 3 and 6 people opting out, not percent. 3 and 6 people opting out is kind of the typical situation there. The reason I think for that is 2 reasons. Number one, it's the target group we're going after. These are people that you already have a pre-existing relationship with, right?
Right.
So they're not strangers. If they're strangers, you have massive opt-outs and complaints and the whole bit. But these are people, if you do it right, who actually already know you and like you and to a certain degree trust you, right? So you're not going out to strangers. Second reason is guilt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's true.
That little guilt trip. Like I say that with a smile. Hey, you can always opt out. My feelings will be devastated for a while, but eventually I'll get over it. I say it with a bit of a smile, but again, it's a little bit of a guilt trip there. And then the third reason is the profit motive. Right? Who knows? Maybe sometime in the future, you might want to partner with me on a deal and share in the profits.
Yeah,
that perks people's ears up, right? So we're not talking about specific returns or anything like that. We're just creating curiosity. We're really focusing on people that we have a pre-existing relationship with.
Yeah, it makes so much sense now that you say that. That's who I targeted at the beginning of my career, yeah. Right? One, just because it seemed natural, right? It's an easier conversation. It's not as daunting. Now, I wish I had taken the approach initially that you did, or now that you're teaching, I think we took the same initial approach of like a bull in a china shop, just trying to get right to the point immediately.
I think it worked a lot better for you than it did for me. That's for sure. Sure. Yeah.
I think that's probably because I had the connection to the internet and social media a lot sooner than you did in my career. So that does help and helps eliminate some of the mistakes that were made early on.
Exactly. Believe it or not, that's the first step. That's create that list and reconnect with those people on a personal level, set the stage. The second stage is now we've got to be ready in case somebody puts up their hand and says, hey, Sean, I'm interested. Tell me about your deal, right?
Yeah.
Now, your warm-up campaign is not designed for that, but quite often that can actually happen. So we got to be ready for it. So we want to have what I call your million-dollar investor presentation. We want to have a slide deck that we can walk people through. Now, at your stage, Sean, you've probably got very, very sophisticated type presentations. You tend to be working with accredited investors. But when you're first getting started, most of your prospective investors are not going to be super, how can I put it, up to speed on real estate investing. Would you agree? We're nerding out on this real estate stuff. They're watching Netflix, right?
Right.
We got to make sure we meet them where they're at. So we keep this presentation very, very simple. And the goal is to educate them about real estate investing, show them the big benefits of them, highlight a deal or two that you've done in the past, and show them what's in it for them, right? So we're not necessarily trying to pitch them on a particular deal at this time. We're just trying to get their curiosity up. And in my case, what I'm looking to do is get them to sign off on an expression of interest or letter of intent saying that, hey, you know what? I'm interested in doing a deal with you. When you've got one, I want first dibs, and I'm willing to put up to X amount in a deal. That's the whole goal. So you want to have that million-dollar investor presentation ready to go, practice it up a little bit. And then third step is now it's time to put a little bit of gas on that fire with marketing. And I call this constant, consistent, edutaining communication. A little bit educational, a little bit, and hopefully a little bit entertaining. Because again, we got to remember, our group of prospective investors are not real estate weirdos like us. So they don't want to learn every single thing you and I know about doing a deal. They want to know that we know our stuff. They want to get the gist of it, but they don't want to be overwhelmed. Does that make sense? At least at this level, before we're getting into accredited and sophisticated type of investors.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think it's always important to, and confused mind always says no. So I think it's important to start off very simple. Direct them to the place you want them to go. We talked about this earlier, is that I like to keep that hunger, that wanting for more alive. So before I get into any type of returns or any sophistication, I say, hey, we got to be intentional about this. I'm regulated by the SEC. In order to do this, you know, above board, I first need you to fill out our accreditation form. So I'll send them to our investor portal, which is on our website, greenbriercg.com. And you just click on the Invest With Us tab. And then they just fill out a few questions, submit it. It creates a login for them. And then we go through the process of verifying them. And then in the future, they can see some of our deals.
Exactly. What we're trying to do here, because again, this is typically for a lot of people before they're getting to the syndication type level. They're,
right.
They're getting a single family home. They're getting a duplex or getting a fourplex, what have you. So we're trying to really focus on pre-existing relationships, stay compliant and under the radar with the Securities and Exchange Commission by following the rules. So again, you don't want to confuse people. You want to keep it super simple. That's that second stage of having that investor presentation, then the marketing, all sorts of things that you can do these days with that. I'm going to suggest that you want to be very, very careful and you want to have kind of a closed system, an investor-focused website and e-zines, video logs, blog posts that you're sending out on a regular basis, right? Each bit with a little bit of a tidbit, a little bit of a tip, a trick, a tactic, an idea, and create that curiosity and then always be encouraging people to book a call to see if it's a good fit for them, right? That's what it's all about. It's all about having that clear call to action, show them exactly what to do. Hey, if you'd like to find out more and see if this might be a good idea for you, go ahead, click on the link, book a call, let's have a conversation and see how this can work for you. So that's that marketing, e-zines, video logs, blog posts, webinars. That's what we're trying to do there. I'm going to recommend sending something out at least once a week and mixing it up a little bit. So for example, when we're working with clients, first week of the month, it'll be an electronic newsletter. Second week of the month, a blog post. Third week of the month, a video log. Fourth week of a month, another blog post. And then start over again the next month with new content.
That's awesome.
Does that make sense, Sean?
Yeah. And I think that goes to your point earlier of, you know, at the beginning, when you were coming from a place of desperation, people sense that, they smell that, right? And the way you're creating your marketing is for people to want more. So you're not coming from a place of desperation. You're like, let's see if this fits for you before we go any further.
and see if you fit for me, right? And see
right,
if you fit
exactly.
For us.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So that's the furthest thing from desperation. It's saying like, I don't necessarily need you and you don't necessarily need me. Let's feel each other out instead of being like, I need your money. That doesn't work.
It takes me back to my dating days, Sean. Doesn't work. Right?
Yeah, no, that never works. It's true. Right. If you play hard to get, the same with raising money. If you play hard to get, they're going to want it more.
I'm sure you found the less that you need it, the more it seems to become available for you.
I remember when I was first starting off, and I didn't do this on purpose because I was desperate for their money, but it was at the beginning when I hadn't really established my broker relationship yet. So at least not to the point where they are today. So my deal flow wasn't as strong. Mm. So these investors thought, Sean's just blowing me off. Like, why isn't he showing me any deals? Little did they know it's because I didn't have any deals to show them. But it made them want to invest with me even more because they thought I just wasn't showing them the deals, right? Because not that I meant to do it, but now that I look back, it makes perfect sense to approach it that way. So that was step two, right?
Step three, is kick the marketing into gear.
Right. So what's step four?
Well, step four is to really start leveraging things and going from one-on-one communications or one-on-one meetings to holding group meetings or group webinars. Webinars have been huge for me and for my clients over the years, that's for sure. And that's away from going from one-on-one to one-to-many. So once you've started to build up that network, then you can start inviting people to educational online group presentations. Again, create that curiosity, be edutaining, and have that clear call to action. Hey, if you'd like to find out more, click on my calendar link, book a call, let's have a conversation, see if it might be a good fit. So that's what we want to do there. And then last but not least.
And Dave, before you get into that one.
Yeah.
That's just general education. That's not like, hey, come on this webinar and let me show you a deal. That's just like general education of whatever the topic might be, but probably pertaining to real estate.
Well, it's going to be around real estate investing. You might do the anatomy of a good deal kind of thing, but you probably don't want to be pitching a specific deal on here, because that could be getting you in hot waters with
that makes sense.
Securities, right?
Yep.
And then last but not least is starting the snowball effect. And what do I mean by that is once you've got one or two investors on board, it's actually a lot easier to grow your investor pool because birds of a feather flock together. Your investors tend to know other people with money. And if they're happy with the job you're doing for them, you can get testimonials from them. Always try to get video testimonials. Those are huge. And referrals from them to their sphere of influence as well. So that's how you can really start to get this whole thing going. And then part of that as well is starting to work on your credibility, starting to be seen as an authority. And here's the good news. You don't need to necessarily have hundreds of doors in your portfolio like you do at this point, Sean. You don't need to even have your own podcast. There's all sorts of ways that you can be building up your credibility and your authority in the eyes of your prospective investors, starting with simple stuff, how you present yourself. So when you're meeting with people and you're talking about money, I'm going to recommend that you dress up a little bit, right? So even if you're meeting with Aunt Edna, who used to change your diapers, you know, if you put on a blazer when you're having your conversation with Aunt Edna, it's going to give her respect and it's going to get a little bit more respect back from her as well. Okay, so dress the part. Sharp looking material, sharp looking website, good looking presentation, all of this stuff goes a long way to building up that credibility. And then anytime you have an opportunity to jump on somebody's podcast, hint, hint, right? This is a great opportunity. Always take that, always do that kind of thing. Join your local real estate investment association or real estate meetups. And don't just show up and be a passive participant. Actually take action, volunteer, help out, be part of the group. You don't have to necessarily speak to the group, but if you introduce speakers or you greet people, just be seen as somebody who's active and actually doing stuff in the group. And that's going to go a long way.
I couldn't agree more. Always come from a place of adding value first. It's that giver's gain philosophy. You'll always get more in return. So couldn't agree more. Hey, I've got two questions before we go here. First, what's your piece of advice for someone that's just starting out and they want to raise capital? What's that first? Because I'm always about action steps. What's something that they can actually go and do? What's that first step they should take if they want to raise capital?
Well, let me clarify the question. Is this person brand new to real estate investing, has never done a deal yet, or do they have a deal or two of experience under their belt already? Different answers.
Let's say they have a deal or two under their belt.
All right. So then the first thing that I would do is, gave you the whole game plan there. So
right.
The first thing I would definitely do is create that target group of prospective investors and warm them up. So that whole warm-up process that we just talked about at the very beginning, that is the very first thing that I would do, Sean, is let's create that target focus group that we can focus on. Because otherwise, the challenge is you kind of think everybody and anybody could be an investor and you're scattered, right?
Yeah.
Versus if you're just getting started, let's really, really focus on these people. Because if you don't have any track record working with investors, quite frankly, going out there and networking and growing your sphere and all that, that's good. But it's going to be very hard to get a stranger to be your first investor, right?
Yep.
Chances are it's going to be a friend or a family member. Let's really focus on that first.
100%. I couldn't agree more. All right. Second question. If you go back in time and tell your younger self, that guy watching those late night infomercials, you could tell him one piece of financial advice, what would that be?
Buy and hold.
Hey, I couldn't agree more. It's simple as that. It's not timing the market, but time in the market.
And I tell you, I did those 18 deals in 18 months, and it was all about creating the little pops of cash. They're basically, they were flips of a kind, wholesale deals, assignments, this and that. It was all, you know, just to get that next paycheck versus thinking long-term and thinking about growing your net worth via cash flow and mortgage pay down and appreciation and all of these wonderful things that you can benefit from the longer that you hold on to a property. So whether you're doing single family homes or multifamily properties, at least focus on keeping some of them, right?
100%. Yeah. Flipping, wholesaling. You know, you can make some good money in doing those. Don't get me wrong, but that's job, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's the same as a 9-to-5. It's transactional.
You stop doing it. You stop doing it and your income.
Trading time for money, 100%. And to grow true wealth, you've got to put that money to work for you when you're not working. And like you, Dave, I've found that multifamily and buy and hold real estate is, to me, it's the best strategy to do that for those reasons you mentioned.
You learned the lesson way younger than I did.
But we always wish we learned it earlier. All right, Dave, before I let you go, where can the listeners find you?
Well, the best place is at my website, moneypartnerformula.com, moneypartnerformula.com. Go ahead and check it out. You can poke around. You can grab a complimentary copy of my book, Money Partner Formula, in exchange with for your name and your email address. That'll get you into my universe. You can watch some videos, take some training, book a call, whatever you want to do there. All things moneypartnerformula.com.
Awesome. And I highly recommend you all do that because I wish I knew these keys when I started. So if you're trying to raise money out there, capital, go download that book. And Dave, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on. I've got a ton of value out of this and I'm grateful for that. And I'm sure the listeners are as well. So thank you.
Well, Sean, thank you very much. Congratulations for a fantastic podcast, for the value that you bring. Thanks for being a guest on my podcast as well. I love what you taught, what you're doing there. So your listeners are in good hands.
Thanks, Dave. And it was a pleasure coming on. Thank you for having me. And listeners, thank you for tuning in as always. And as I always say, get out there and take action, because if you want your dream life, no one else is creating it for you. You got to get out there and grab it yourself. So, all right, I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.